Please read along with me 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, 1 through 8. This is the word of the Lord. I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The word of the Lord.
That would be good. All right, well, good morning. Welcome again. I think I've met most of you. If I haven't met you, my name is Jim, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege again this morning to lead us in the preaching of God's word. As we begin, have you ever wondered why almost every church in the world has this time of preaching? Usually a sermon given by a pastor every single Sunday that they gather for worship. Both Roman Catholics, Protestants still have a sermon. And just an interesting set of data here as we begin. Different lengths of time for sermons in different denominations or church groups. African-American Protestants average 54-minute sermons. Evangelical Protestants average 39-minute sermons. I think we're a little below that, usually. You can be thankful. Maybe 30 minutes, hopefully we'll see. 11:20, we can say. So, mainline Protestants average 25-minute sermons, and Roman Catholics average 14-minute sermons, with a fairly recent recommendation, a charge from Pope Francis to keep sermons to just 8 minutes. So we'd be like a quarter of the way through now. You'd be like, okay, let's wrap this thing up, Jim. But we're not Roman Catholic, not just for that reason, but to be clear, our goal is not 8 minutes. but today, as we come, we are looking at why do we have this time of preaching? And why does this matter? Why do we do this? It was over a year ago. I wasn't preaching that Sunday. We had a visiting preacher, to be clear. I will not name him, but a visiting preacher. And I was sitting in the back of the room, and there was in front of me this young man who I don't know. I still don't know who it is. If you're here, don't worry. But he was literally almost horizontal in the chair, laid out just 30 seconds into the sermon, just snoozing. Just out. I actually took a picture of it. I could prove it. But I didn't want to show the picture in case he's here. Didn't want to call him out. But it was a great picture. You can see the preacher in the background and then just laid out asleep. So I can show this to this guy at some point. But I know as we come to this time, probably every single one of us could place ourselves in that guy's shoes, right? Tired from the week, tired from our kids, tired from our lab work, tired from our studies, and we come to church, and someone gets up, and they start talking. And the more they talk, the more tired we get. Like, I've been there, right, where you're just trying to keep your eyes open. So I don't say that. I don't start this way to kind of look at all of you and say, stay. Now, I'm going to be looking. So this is a sermon. You can't fall asleep, right? But that's not the point, right? We're coming to this theme of why do we have preaching? Why does this matter? Why do we do this week in and week out? And we should, hopefully, be motivated to pay attention, motivated to get something out of it when we see what it is. I think we need from time to time to be reminded of why we do what we do. We don't have a sermon every week just because that's what the church has done throughout its history, so we should probably keep that pattern up. But why do we do this? This monologue, right? Monologue for 30 minutes. And why are you here this morning listening to someone preach right now? You know, from a very young age, I was brought up in the church, and I can remember many Sundays that I did not want to be sitting where you're sitting. And I can remember, you know, we could count the vents, right? We could count the boxes on the wall. We could be looking out. And I remember, I can sympathize with any person here is like, why am I here? Why am I listening to this person counting the window panes? When will this be over? My goal this morning is to help us to see that I'm not here to bore you. It's not my goal. But to help us to see why this matters. Why this activity, what we are doing right now, is a sweet gift from God to us, and how preaching can really impact us, change us, transform us, because God, for some reason, decides to speak when his church gathers through someone, through a normal person, standing up and proclaiming a message. It's absolutely clear in Scripture that for some reason, God uses the preaching of his word to transform people's hearts and lives. And so we are committed to this because we have seen the power of it and because we believe Scripture. And we want to live our lives together as a church according to Scripture. Christian preaching is powerful, not because someone stands up and shares their good ideas. Christian preaching is powerful because it leads us to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. A preacher doesn't proclaim something that he's figured out, some new life hack. The preacher proclaims a person who came to seek and to save the lost, who came to lead us to life, a very full and purposeful life. And the sermon, the preaching, leads us to hope in this person, to walk with this person, to love because of this person who gave himself for us, who loved us and gave himself for us, the one who died and has been raised again from the dead. So let's pray as we begin, and then we'll look at this together. Father, we thank you. We pray that you would bless us now. Speak, O Lord. Speak. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in a short series that we're calling The Redeemer's Vision. And in these sermons, you know, it's a little tricky. Our church name is Redeemer, and we could be talking about Redeemer's Vision as our church, but we've tried to make this very clear. We're not talking just about our church's vision, but we see this as a bigger category of the Redeemer's Vision. Jesus' design for us, both as individuals and as a church. So today the theme is the clear proclamation of Christ. And my argument is that as individuals, we should be committed to this. This is a core principle we should be committed to. Being in places, being in the place, the church, where the clear proclamation of Christ is happening. So as individuals, we should be committed to this. And then as a church, we're joined together. We all give money to pay someone to do this. Right? We're committed to this. We come, we sit, we seek to receive something from the preaching of the word. So our core principle, our commitment is that Christ would be proclaimed. Really, that preaching would happen. Now, I think it's, you know, consider the last few weeks, two weeks ago, we considered authentic community. And we considered this as a core principle, and immediately we should say, oh, I get this. I'm made to be in relationship, I need friendship, I need community. So authentic community makes sense. Last week, we looked at sharing love and mercy. And again, we can get it in our lives, in our church. We should be people who have tasted grace, we share grace. Of course, that's a core principle, but we come to this theme, and I think initially at least, it's like, okay, this isn't as big of a deal. This isn't really like core principle level. Is Jim overselling this because this is his job, right? Clear proclamation, it's good, but what does this have to do with my life from day to day, and why should I be so committed to this? So let's look at this. First, this morning, the simple question, is preaching important? Is it important? Preaching should be a core aspect of our lives. It should deeply matter to us. We should desire it and eagerly receive it, make it a part of our weekly routine, and together we should value it and put it in a central place in the church. And I think this is very practical for us. Right? We live our lives, and so often we don't know what to do. Whatever age we're at, right? We don't know what to do. We don't know how to respond. We don't know how to act. Well, preaching is God speaking to us, a key way that God continues to speak to us. And preaching, as I have said, is a way that God transforms and revives our hearts. And preaching has the power to renew not only individual lives and churches, but it has renewed and revived nations. Preaching can be completely life-altering and life-shaping. It's a gift from God. So when we say that this is a core principle, the clear proclamation of Christ, it doesn't mean that we all have to preach, but it does mean that preaching will have a primary place in our lives. We will promote it, we will protect it, and we will eagerly receive it. So that's my argument. So how is preaching important? Let's go to the text that Martha read for us. Look with me at 2 Timothy 4. I think we can see this in many places in Scripture. We see this in the practice of the early church, but let's look at 2 Timothy 4 first. It's Paul's final letter. He's an early leader in the church, a key leader. Here, 2 Timothy is his final letter. It's like his last words. He's at the end of his life. He's writing to a young man that he loves. He loves Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor. He says, verse 6, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure from this life has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So it's in this context. He's saying goodbye to someone he loves. Then verse 1, if you go back to verse 1, he gives this solemn and serious charge. We should sense the weightiness of this. I charge you, Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. These are weighty matters. And by his appearing and his kingdom, I charge you. The next words are important, right? We should wonder, okay, what is he going to say to him? What is he going to challenge? This young man that he loves, he brings in this charge. He says, I'm leaving, and he brings in this charge in the presence of God and in the presence of Jesus, who is the king over all, who is the judge over all. In light of his kingdom, in light of Jesus, then what? Preach the word. Preach the word. That word for preach there is proclaim or herald the word. My son Timothy, I will no longer be with you. Right? These may be his last words to him. I charge you, preach the word. Now, of course, there are many other things Paul said to Timothy and many other important things Paul said. He could have said some of them here, feed the poor, take care of the elderly, shepherd the people. There are many other aspects of ministry, and we're not diminishing those, but as we come to this, we need to see the importance Paul gives to this. In this heightened moment, his concern is that Timothy would continue as a pastor of the church, and he would give himself to this. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. Why? Why would Paul have this charge for Timothy, this young pastor? You think of Paul's history? First, we have to say, as we read the book of Acts, we have to say that he was aware of what happened. Right after the resurrection, Peter stands up, right, to preach, and thousands come to Christ. Few occasions. I think the first time was 3,000, second time was 5,000. Paul probably met some of these people who, under Peter's preaching, had come to Christ. So Paul saw, he observed the power of preaching. but also firsthand in his own life. He traveled around the then known world proclaiming Jesus, and people responded with joy. People responded by believing in this Jesus. Churches were formed. This man, Paul, through the proclamation of Christ, through preaching this message, changed the world, changed the history of the world. Luke says in Acts that through Paul's ministry, the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region, and it continued to spread, changing lives. Paul knew God cared about preaching, so he calls Timothy to preach the word. He looks at his own heart. We could go through many of his letters. He says in Galatians 1, in this biographical moment, he said, I was walking this certain direction away from Christ. God found me because God had set me aside before I was born. He called me by his grace and was pleased to reveal his son to me. He was pleased to show me Jesus, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, in order that I might proclaim this. I've seen Jesus. We can think of Paul's story. He saw him. He was commissioned by him, and in order that I might proclaim him to the Gentiles, preaching was absolutely important to Paul. Absolutely important to Paul. But I think we need to be more clear with our second question. So, was it important? My argument is, Paul says it is, that should matter to us. But secondly, we need to be more clear on what is preaching. So here's second point, second question, what is preaching? And I've said this a few times, hopefully you've caught it, but to be absolutely clear, preaching is proclaiming the message of the Bible, explaining it, applying it, usually in a context like this, a church, proclaiming the message. It's not an individual sharing his thoughts. I mean, thankfully, it's not, right? I have to get up every week and say, okay, well, this is what I thought this week. Here are some key insights I've learned. Thankfully, that's not what preaching is. It is to be an exposure and unpacking of God's words to us in Scripture. It's unpacking that, God's thoughts, God's insights from Scripture. That's what preaching is. But even more specifically, we're in a church, a Christian church. What is Christian preaching? This helps. We're under the second point, second question, what is preaching? But this helps us also to see the importance of it. So what is Christian preaching? Christian preaching, hear this, always proclaims Jesus Christ as the way of salvation and the giver of grace. Why is there power in preaching? Why are we saying there's power in this? Because Jesus is being proclaimed. Christian preaching focuses on announcing who Jesus is, what he has done, the power that brings us, the power that gives us. It's proclaiming Christ. Preaching is proclaiming Christ. Why? Again, we're saying, what is preaching? It's proclaiming Christ. If we can say this, here, understand this. We can say this because preaching is explaining and applying the Bible, and we come to the Bible. We don't always understand what the Bible is, but hear this. This is true. The Bible is all about Jesus Christ. So in order for us to explain and apply the Bible, we must understand what the Bible's all about. The Bible is the story of Jesus Christ. He's the focus of every single part, from the beginning to the end. He's the center stage, we could say, of God's drama. He is the context of every part of Scripture. We cannot understand any part of Scripture unless we understand it in light of who Jesus is. We only understand Scripture as we understand how it relates, how it leads to, how it explains the life, ministry, and death of Jesus. We need to understand that. Jesus taught this himself in John 5 as he's interacting with the Pharisees. Here are some men, some teachers, who really understood, who knew so much information about the Bible. You know, Bible trivia time, you want one of these guys on your team. They knew a lot, but Jesus says to them, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness about me. Now we can hear Pharisees, and if you've grown up in the church, you think immediately, oh, bad guy. But this should hit home to us when we come to the Word. Do we just know Bible knowledge, Bible facts, or do we see Jesus? Do we see the Scriptures bearing witness to Jesus? So here's the connection for what we're trying to do this morning. The Bible isn't just a book of morals and commands. That's not what it is. It's not a book of commands that tells us how to live. And the Bible isn't just a book that gives us information about God. And therefore, preaching isn't just moralizing and telling you what you should do. Preaching doesn't just share information about God. The Bible is about Jesus. So preaching, as one author said, first, second, third, every time we preach, we are to present Christ, the way to the Father through the Spirit. This is preaching. This is what it is. It's proclaiming Christ. So God gathers us by his grace in this room. He calls us to read Scripture together. He calls us to pray together. I believe he calls us and invites us to sing together, but he calls us to place preaching in this service and to give it a central place. Because here again, we proclaim Christ, and each of us needs Christ to be proclaimed to our hearts again and again. We should be able to see how this applies to our daily lives. I think the danger, and I thought about this this week, the danger is I'm preaching a sermon about sermons, about preaching. And we could immediately think, well, what does this really have to do with me? Like, yeah, sure, preaching's important, but, you know, not that important to, like, spend a whole Sunday on. But think about how practical this is. If preaching is proclaiming Christ and what he has done, we live our lives. And as we live, we face so many different things. For example, we have someone in our lives that we just can't forgive. We just can't let it go, what they have done to us. We can't let go of the bitterness. We can't let go of the anger. We know that there's part of us that wants to do that, but we just can't do it. So we come to church on a Sunday morning, and the preacher gets up and he says, "Look to Jesus." He proclaims what Jesus has done. He proclaims the death and resurrection of Jesus. Look to Jesus. See how he has forgiven you. Look at what he did. Look at the power he gives. Look how he changes your heart through forgiveness, leads you to love, and those roots of bitterness slowly wither as we hear about the grace and the love and the forgiveness found in Christ through the proclamation, through the heralding of Jesus Christ. That's practical, man. The bitter roots die out as I see the love of Jesus for me, the forgiveness that I've received. I then can step into my day to this person and love and forgive and show grace. Or maybe you're here this morning and, as many of us do, battling the desires that come. Strong desires that we know are not good, are not right. That's normal living. We feel our inability to change. We can't change. The Christian preacher stands up and says, "See Jesus, the Lord of all. Again, see how he loved you. He gave himself for you. See how he welcomes you in his grace. You're not dirty. In Christ, you're made clean." And the Christian preacher stands up and says, "Come to Jesus." Or maybe better, he says, Jesus is saying to you, "Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, held down and trapped by this desire, whatever, all you who are weary, come to Jesus and find rest." This is the value of Christian preaching. This is what preaching is. Maybe to be more clear, this illustration will help. When we're thinking about it being a heralding of Christ, a proclaiming in Christ, I think a good illustration would be, we can think of an ancient city. What did the herald do when he came back from the battle? Right? They didn't have any other way to understand what happened in the battle hundreds of miles away. The herald comes, he goes up to a high point in the city, maybe up on the wall, and he proclaims, "This is what has happened. This is how our army has been victorious. Our king has won, our king has returned." And they herald and proclaim that, and the whole city erupts in joy. This is what Christian preaching, what preaching is. Now, before we move on, I'm still, maybe in a long way, answering this question, what is preaching? And my connection is, well, the Bible is this, so Christian preaching proclaims Christ, because this is what the Bible is. Just a few maybe objections we might have. We read Scripture, we come to certain parts of Scripture, and it's not immediately clear how this relates to Jesus. But very early in Scripture, Genesis 3:15, there's this promise given of a Messiah that would come, someone who would come and crush the head of the serpent, and the rest of Scripture unpacks that. So every character we come to in the Old Testament is in light of that promise, that God would bring salvation, that God would bring a perfect king, that God would bring a perfect leader. It all directs us to Jesus. Or maybe another question, we come to Scripture and we see so many commands and laws. How do these lead us to Jesus? Jim's saying the preacher's not to get up and say, do this and do this and do this. This is how you're to live. And I stand by that. That's not the role of preaching. We come to the commands and laws of Scripture. And how do we understand these in light of Jesus? The commands and laws of Scripture are very good. But the commands and laws of Scripture expose our hearts, lead us to see our neediness, exposes our selfishness. Right? You think of Jesus' teaching when he unpacks the law and he says, you don't get it if you just think murder is murder. This command placed before you goes so much deeper. Not only don't murder, but don't be angry at anyone. You have broken the law if you've ever been angry, Jesus says. Or you've heard the command, do not commit adultery. But Jesus, that's not just that. Sure, you can live your life and not commit adultery, but it's not that. I'm talking about lust. I'm talking about sins of the heart. Why does Jesus do this? He's trying to show us how needy we are, how sinful we are. Is that mean of him? No. Because from the need that's exposed, the sin that's exposed, we're led to our Redeemer. And so we proclaim Christ. We proclaim Christ to filthy sinners, wretched sinners. Yes, we can also, yes, that's me. I know my own heart. But Jesus comes and answers our deepest need. Christian preaching is proclaiming Jesus and what he has done and continues to do. Through Jesus, we find forgiveness. Through Jesus, we find freedom to live. Through Jesus, we find hope to live in. This is our message. Now, in a few weeks, actually next week, for 3 weeks, we're going to have a Sunday school class on what is preaching. So I'll be able to talk more and stick close to the evangelical time frame, at least. But this is from an author. This is so good. Here's summarizing this point. Jesus should suffuse all our preaching. Both the non-Christian and the Christian need the same thing. They need Jesus. It's not that the Spirit merely uses the gospel once to give us new birth and then leaves us to sweat out our sanctification, our obedience by pure self-exertion. That's not Christianity. It's always the gospel that does the deepest plow work in our hearts. Without that gospel, which is the message of Jesus proclaimed, without the gospel, even mature Christians will feel the daily pull of sin outweighing their love for God. We need Jesus. Out of earshot of the message of God's kindness, Christians will quickly crawl away from God in guilt and dread. Preachers, if you would turn hearts to God, you must always give people the one message with the power of God to win their desires. Let people see the sheer beauty of Christ. Show them how he is better and more delightful than all the idols that entrance them. Open their eyes and so win their hearts with the gospel. That's our goal. So yes, I would say, yeah, preaching is absolutely important. When it proclaims Christ as the answer to everything. Not just like a Sunday school answer, yet Jesus, Jesus. No, for our lives, we need to hear Jesus Christ is the one who gave himself for us, and Jesus Christ is the one who defeated death, and that impacts every aspect of my life, every relationship I am in, everything I am pursuing, it's under Jesus. That's why Paul could say to the Colossians, him we proclaim. Him we proclaim. So that's our answer to what is preaching. It's the proclamation of Jesus. Hopefully not in the formulaic way where every Sunday we say, yes, Jesus died, yes, Jesus raised, but showing how the gospel, the good news of Jesus, really impacts our lives and helps us in our marriages, helps us in our parenting, helps us in our labs, helps us in every aspect of our lives. That's the point. But let me draw this to a close with another question. So then, why do we preach? Why? Well, simply, it's important to see who God is. God is a speaking God, right? We have the Bible because God is not like far off, distant, and removed, and not talking to us, right? A beautiful aspect of Christianity we see very clearly is that from the very beginning, God has spoken. One way God describes himself is as light who shines to reveal. He's not hiding. He's a communicative God who throughout all of history has raised up prophets initially to proclaim his message, to share his truth with others. And Jesus comes as the ultimate prophet, and one of the first things he does, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." This is Jesus, and Jesus raises up Paul. He raises up Peter. He raises up other leaders, and he calls them to then raise up others also. Pass this on. So why do we preach? Because we see ourselves as part of this history. God speaks. The Messiah speaks. The early Christians spoke, we could say, and continue to call people to speak the words of God to the people gathered. It's the pattern, it's the past. We do it because of who our God is. But secondly, why do we preach? We preach, and again, if we understand what preaching is, we preach because we all desperately need the good news every day of our lives. We need to hear. We should be coming on Sunday saying, man, I need to hear about Jesus. I need to know of his love because I'm having such a hard time loving. I need to know of his forgiveness because, man, I'm holding on to these grudges. I need to know of his mercy because I don't have a ton of mercy for others. I need to know of his patience because I have kids. I need to know of his power because I'm worried about what's happening in this world. I need to know of the freedom that comes through Christ. I need this. We preach because we desperately need the gospel. Now, of course, we can give this to each other through conversation, as we should. Ephesians 4, speak the truth and love to one another. We receive some of this through the sacraments, and they should be central to our worship. But today the focus is, why do we do this? Without diminishing those other things, we say individually and as a church, we are committed to this. We must have someone called by God who stands up and says, see Jesus, see what he has done, see the power, see the grace, see the mercy. If you look back at 2 Timothy 4, again, our time is short. I'm starting to move towards the African-American church of 54 minutes, and I'm not trying to. But 2 Timothy 4, what will this look like, Paul? This preaching. We're not moving out of this context of Jesus, but still it will reprove and correct us at times. It will be a rebuke to us at times, and it will encourage us at times. We'll come to the teaching of God's word, and it's not just see Jesus, see what he's done, but we'll see in Scripture the law will come, commands will come, and they should come. Maybe we're living selfishly. We're moving away from our spouses. We're fed up with them, and we're moving away, and then we sit under the preaching of the word. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we hear that. It convicts us. The preaching rebukes us. But then it leads us to Jesus to find forgiveness, to find grace, to step into our calling, husbands or wives. The preaching should do that, encouraging us truly as it leads us to Christ. Each week, we are to sit under the word of God as it is proclaimed from a very weak, weak man. I want to make this abundantly clear. God doesn't choose the smartest person in the room to preach. He does not choose the most eloquent or gifted. When God calls a man, he's not looking for those things. And I know I and others who preach wouldn't say, yep, that's why. Oh, I'm smart. No. I think of David in Psalm 51, called in a sense to preach. Well, what happened with David? In the Psalm of Confession, he says, I know my transgressions. I've seen my sins. I've seen my failures. I've tasted these things. Oh God, please hide your face from my sins, from my selfishness, from my weakness. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And then the Christian preacher says, then I will teach other transgressors your ways. Then maybe other sinners will return to you. Oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth, and I will declare your praise. Not the most gifted, not the most eloquent, but hopefully a person who's been humbled through their own sin, their own failure, and has tasted the grace. That's who we should put before us to preach. Longing to hear about Jesus, yearning for Jesus to change our lives. So preaching, I'm arguing, is a core principle of our lives as individuals and as a church. What will this look like? We will keep it in its central spot, not to diminish other things, but see the importance of it, give time to it, even pay the people who do it, right? Keep it central. I think under this, maybe more of us should consider the call to preach. You can think of people like Bard. He's not a full-time pastor. I mean, now he's retired, but businessman, desires to share the mercy of and grace of Christ. And I'm called. Maybe I'm called to this. Maybe there are others here, young men, old men. Maybe I'm called to this specific ministry. I think we should think about that more, especially those of us who are college age, thinking about life. Is this even an option? Is this a viable career? I think it should be. The larger catechism, I think, helps us understand as well how we sit under preaching. What will this look like if preaching is a core principle in our lives? And to summarize the answer it gives, catechism, this is centuries ago, says this: those who sit under the preaching of the word will attend to it with diligence, right? Opposite of the horizontal young man at the beginning of the sermon, right? Will attend to it with diligence, with preparation and prayer, praying that as this happens, that the Spirit of God would speak to us. They will examine it when they hear it, receiving the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind. I think the picture is standing under the preaching. Yes, this guy's not that smart, but I will stand under it because God has promised to speak. I'll stand under it instead of over it. He wasn't that good today. Right, receiving the preaching, faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind, meditating on it and discussing it, and hiding the truths proclaimed in our hearts. That's how we make it a core principle. I hope you see this. I'm not just trying to advocate for my career as a preacher, right? Not at all. This could be my last sermon here. It's not, but I don't think, whatever. I wasn't planning to. I'm not like retiring now, not yet. But this could be my last sermon here, right? And all these things are absolutely true. We want these things to be central. Because we need preaching, because we need Jesus. We need him to be proclaimed to our hearts, to our community, to our church. So we will sit under, hopefully humble, transformed, absolutely dependent preachers, men who love Christ, who have tasted grace, who have found a treasure and are eager to serve, to share. We will sit under this preaching, giving it a primary place in our individual lives and in our church. As Peter said to Jesus, Where else can we go? To whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. May this mark us as the people of God, as Christians. May Jesus Christ be proclaimed Sunday after Sunday here. And may we, as individuals and as a church, be transformed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us. We thank you that you continue to speak. And even now, Father, I pray, as we go from this place, help your word to take deep root in our hearts. May we see our need for Jesus and even our need for preaching that proclaims Jesus. May you help us. God, we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen.